It's that time again. It's Sunday night, and you're listening to The Used, your host, T.C. Downey and Jason Sorrell. T.C., what's going on tonight, man?
What's up, man? Just chilling out, relaxing. Kind of an easy night. I only had to do about 18 tubes tonight, so it wasn't too bad.
Right on. Man, I hated scrubbing tubes, man. I can't tell you how much I hated it. But you got to do it, man. You got to do it. You got to learn how to do it. You got to make sure you do it right. And when it's your tubes, then you'll be all about making sure your tubes are clean and everything. So yeah, man, it's totally worth the effort. I got a kind of crazy tattoo experience this evening. Nothing really to do with the tattoo, but I get a text message from one of my customers, regular customer, nobody that, you know, nobody I've talked about before or anything like that, but regular customer. And he's like, hey, man, don't take any offense to this, but do you know where I could get some acid? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy's been over to my place. He's been, he knows who I am. He knows what I'm about. There's nothing about my life or my world that would suggest that I have access to acid. I mean, I barely have access to fucking aspirin, let alone acid. And, he sends me this message. And the only thing I think of is that, well, okay, it's because I'm a tattoo artist. So he thinks, you know, if I might have the hookup or something, you know. I might know where the dealer's at or something like that. So kind of weird. I just sent him a message saying, no, man, not offended, but don't have access to any of that. Happy hunting. So that was kind of, yeah, it was kind of weird.
Yeah, it's so, kind of strange. I mean, it couldn't have been the Jerry Garcia beard that you sported for a little while there that gave him that impression, could it?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe when I was looking all crazy and hairy, he thought maybe I'd started dabbling into hallucinogenics and psychedelic drugs and everything. I don't know. I have no idea, man. But yeah, that was kind of weird. You know?
Long-haired hippie freaks.
Right. We're going to talk about Valentine's Day, but we got an hour to kill, so I fuck it. We'll talk about some other shit too. Did you see the blog I posted recently about this chick trying to get a tattoo from me?
Yeah, I did actually. I was going to ask you tonight because I noticed you made some altercations. Was that by request of your mentor, or was that something you chose to do as like a afterthought?
Well, I got to reading it, and it occurred to me that it appeared that Kyle Giffen, the guy who taught me how to tattoo, never actually said that Kyle's the one who taught this kind of, you know, sales technique. I actually had a couple of different people, you know, mentor me. My original mentor, the original guy I started with, was a guy named Seth Blood. Very seriously, that was the dude's name. It wasn't a stage name or anything. That was the guy's name. And this was his sales technique, along with the owner of the shop and some of the other artists that were there and everything else. Kyle, on the other hand, is very straightforward, very stand-up, very laid-back dude. But, you know, it's about the art, and it's about, you know, what he knows a tattoo is worth. What, you know, how much time he knows it's going to take to get into it, and you know he doesn't want to bullshit, man. And what it does is it cuts down really fast on the number of people you deal with who don't have an appreciation for the art. They're just shopping for a tattoo. They're just shopping for the best possible fucking price or whatever. They don't care who does it. They don't care about you or your artwork or, you know, your experience or anything like that. They just care about, you know, how much they can get. So you might as well be a plumber. You know, whatever, you're running the machine. But no, man, I read it and I'm like, oh, you know, I don't say that Kyle sold me this, but I say that I was taught this method as part of my apprenticeship. And then I say that Kyle is my mentor. So, I switched it up. Kyle saw it and, he said, yeah, I really appreciate that and everything else. But no, that was all, you know, initiated here.
Right on. So I was kind of curious. I mean, at the onset of that blog being posted after I'd read it, I kind of got curious, so I went and took a look at Kyle's artwork and stuff, his tattoo work, whatever. I was actually incredibly impressed. I mean, really impressed.
Go ahead.
Go for it.
I was going to say, Kyle's a badass.
Well, yeah, he is. He's definitely on a different level.
Right. And he's got his he's on some television show now, or he was featured in some television show, not like a reality show, I guess. And he's mentioned. I can't think of the name of the show now. But the dude, he has a style that he's embraced. This old school tattoo style. But it's, you know, he's translating modern images, basically, you know, modern, you know, themes and everything, designs, into this old school style. And then, of course, the way he colors it and shades it, you know, he kind of makes it his own. Here's the thing. I've seen some of his original work, you know. I've seen some of his work from, you know, back in the day. And, you know, he'll tell you, it's a matter of practice. It's a matter of, you know, and one day it all just seems to click. And that's when you start developing your style and everything. So it comes. And Kyle's like, you know, he'll have customers. He says, you'll walk in from, you know, years ago, and they're wanting to get another tattoo. And part of the deal is, you know, okay, hey, man, I'm going to go ahead and do this tattoo for you. And we're going to do it for this much, but you got to let me fix the other one too. You know, you got to let me make some changes, make some adjustments. He's a badass.
Yeah, he is. As a kind of a result of me attending this the school that I'm going to and then doing my apprenticeship afterwards, there's been a show that's recently aired on Fox. I think it's Spike TV. The Ink Masters. I don't know if you've seen this or not.
No,
everybody's been talking about it, and they keep asking me if I've seen it. Well, you know me, man. I'm not. Fuck, I don't even have cable, man. I don't watch TV. I watch movies. That's about it. If there's a show that I need to keep up on for, purposes of socializing or whatever, then I will download those or whatever. But I'm not out there looking for the next TV show. It's just not my deal. You know, to me, that's fucking brain rot. And I need all the brains I got. So, but anyway, with all that being said, man, I downloaded this fucking show, Ink Masters, and checked it out. And what it basically is a couple of fairly big name guys and Dave Navarro playing like a celebrity panel while they're judging these different artists for this $100,000 fucking prize at the end of it all. Now, I don't know what kind of skills Kyle really has in terms of, you know, performing under pressure or whatever, and there's definitely a lot of that in there. But I can say this much. Having looked at Kyle's artwork just the day prior and then seeing some of the shit that they were airing up on the show, man, I was thinking to myself, wow, you know, had he been invited to that thing, he has enough talent that he probably could have blown them all away.
Right on. Yeah, that's the thing about Kyle that is that he's very. I'm trying to think of the word. Not self-effacing, but he's very casual about his talent. He's not out there, you know. He puts himself out there as an artist and everything else. You know, he does his thing. But he's not about – he doesn't have a rock star attitude, which is funny because the guy's a lead singer for his own rock band too. But he doesn't – when it comes to tattooing, he doesn't have that attitude. And I've seen that attitude. I saw a dude basically burn himself down with the rock star attitude thing, left a good shop and everything else, left a shop where basically he was being taken care of because, you know, he thought that he deserved more and he was just fucking up all over the place. And you know, Kyle. You know, Kyle doesn't have that attitude. Kyle's very much, you know, very laid back. He lets his work speak for itself and everything. And you know, he doesn't really go out of his way to seek the accolades that are available to tattoo artists. He's not, you know, he doesn't go to the conventions. He's talked about conventions every once in a while. I know he was talking about doing something in Seattle at one time. But his thing there was the opportunity to go to Seattle and have a reason to be there, not just, you know, because we have two or three conventions here in Austin all the time, and he just hasn't really had the interest in doing any of that. So real cool dude. And yeah, man, his work is just his work's mind-blowing. Real cool.
Yeah, I wanted to make mention of that because we plugged the dude. Because I really was impressed. Like I said, here I'm watching this nationally syndicated like contest where these guys are all like, I've been tattooing 20 years or whatever. And, dude, they were on par with him, if not just a little below.
Right on. Yeah, I know that Tim has been catching some show. The dude hangs out here every once in a while. He's been catching some show, and one of the things that he caught on the show is that, and I think the guy's been voted off or however that fucking works or whatever the deal is, there was a dude that a lot of his work was copies of, you know, you're supposed to be doing this original artwork or whatever, I guess, and the guy's copying other people's work. And then, of course, you know, he got busted for it on the Internet. They may even call him out on the show or something like that. And it's like, you know, there's only so much you can do to really be original, to really stand out. And this guy was just, you know, I don't know. I hear it's an interesting show, but like you, man, I really don't watch television, don't really pay attention. And Kat Von D, okay? The chick she's an incredible artist, you know. I'm not going to take anything away from her artwork as a tattoo artist. But there are artists who do not have the television show, who do not have whatever, you know, whatever's got Kat Von D has got going on for, that are just as good. Kat Von D, in my opinion, and the opinion that a lot of artists have of Kat Von D, is that she's not known for her tattoo work. She's known for her tits and ass, basically. She's known for her little bullshit reality show and everything else. And at some point, you know, you have to question, you know, where does your integrity lie as an artist? Because if you're about the artwork and everything else, well, then there should be nothing between you and the artwork. But then again, you know, she's, you know, making hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, you know, she can go, fuck it, fuck integrity, I've got money, whatever. You know, I don't know. I don't think I would go down that road. But yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting the interest in tattooing that's going on reality TV.
Yeah, that is quite fascinating. It's a very, very ingrained part of our fucking culture now, man. Speaking of, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I got a new tattoo this week.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
Man, I couldn't stand it anymore. The buzzing of the gun constantly, and my skin was just fucking itching. So.
Right on.
So I was like, all right, you got a tattoo, man.
So what'd you get?
I got a Jolly Roger.
Oh, right on. Did you pay anything for it?
Pretty sick, man. No. Bobby and I are cool. He just does it.
Right on. One of the perks of being a tattoo apprentice is all the free ink they have time to give you. If you want something and they got time to do it, you will get hooked up. So very cool.
Right on. Yeah, it was fun. You know, I got to say, getting a tattoo now that I understand more about the process of tattooing is completely different. It's like, I don't know, watching some kind of a tutorial.
Oh, right on. Yeah, because you kind of, I think I was having a conversation with somebody along these lines. There's a difference between having knowledge of the way something works versus having experience in whatever it is that's going on, and then coming back to that same process and reviewing it. And yeah, so once you start learning what's going on with the tattoo, when you go back to get that tattoo, well, you notice things, you're paying attention to things, and it's because you know what to look for. And every time I get a tattoo, it's a learning experience. I'm checking out what he's doing. I'm watching, you know, seeing what's going on. So, yeah, very cool.
Yeah, it's so, definitely cool.
I posted a YouTube video today. I drew a new demon girl, and I popped the link there in the chat room and everything else. So yeah, it shows the stage by stage of this new demon girl and everything else, and kind of digging that. It's weird. Last couple of months, it seems like we've really gotten the artwork going again. So a bunch of new stuff on the website. And I got some stuff. I was looking for Zach, okay, from the Satanic International Network. For those people who don't know who the hell Zach is, I understand Zach is on his way to Northern California right now. Is that right?
Southern, actually, if I'm remembering
okay.
Right. I think I saw something about him arriving in South California this morning. Maybe it was yesterday morning. I don't know. My days kind of run together right now. So,
one way or the other, the word I heard was that he and a bunch of his buddies were moving someplace, and they were going to start legally producing marijuana. That they were going to start growing, you know, their own little marijuana farm. That he's, you know, it's some other Satanist that he knows and everything else, and they're heading out someplace, and they're getting away from all the shit, which is kind of cool. So wish him all the luck in the world with that. Is that what you've heard?
Yeah. As far as I know, that's what the plan is.
Right on. And I'm just thinking that, you know, this is all the shit we talk about, how, you know, get out from under all this bullshit and everything else, get out of the system and everything. Zach, in a lot of ways, from what I understand, I mean, he's doing it. So it's cool. He found a niche. He's got an industry that he's interested in. He's heading out with a bunch of friends. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of hard work. But it also could be, you know, a pretty cool party every night. You know, you're hanging out with your buds, and you got the pot all around. And, you know, that sounds like a good time.
You know, I really want to wish Zach the best, but I just want to point out that these situations rarely ever turn out like that. It's not it never ends up being like a big, you know, buddy hug for the rest of your life. Guys, when you put them together long enough, get dramatic. And I hate to say it, but especially guys today. So where I wish him the best, and I just don't see it coming to be anything good.
Hopefully it works out. And I read a thing, and this is one of our friends who was talking about this, and I had just read an article maybe a week before that. It was entitled Five Reasons Why Selling Legal Marijuana Sucks. And it was one of the, I caught my attention on Facebook or something like that. And of the reasons that were, you know, typical reasons, you know, you deal with a bunch of assholes and freaks and everything, or you got the government up your ass, you got state regulations. The one thing that really stood out for me was that you don't make much of a profit, that you're going to put a lot of work and a lot of time into it, but you're not going to make a lot of money. Now, my thinking is, though, that if you're doing that kind of thing, you got to be doing it for some other reason other than money. It's got to be something you love to do. It's got to be something that you're interested in doing. So hopefully the mix of personalities that you got going on doesn't, you know, they cause the whole fucking thing to self-destruct. But I bring Zach up because the new Demon Girl that I did, part of my thinking was that it was time to, you know, roll out a new line of merchandise to help promote the Satanic International Network. And I wanted to do a better job on the Demon Girl. I've learned a few new tricks and everything. So I really think it's stepped up compared to the old one. And I wanted to see his opinion and see where he was at. The other thing is, not realizing that he was making this move, I had sent him – he'd sent me a request maybe a month or two ago for a little side ad, something to put on the Satanic International Network page. And I sent him in an email, I sent him three different ads to see what he thought and everything else. And of course, he's busy moving and getting, you know, settled in and everything. So look for those things here pretty soon, hopefully. And as soon as I hear from Zach, I'll roll out some new merchandise for to help promote.
That's cool,
so,
man. I actually think you probably should just go ahead and forward those images to me. So when he picks them, all he has to do is tell me which one. Otherwise, he's going to send me the picture and tell me to put it on the wall anyway. So.
Okay. Okay. Then I'll do that.
So, we'll just skip the step of him telling me, and I'll put one up.
Right on. So, let's see. We're going to talk about Valentine's Day today. And I was mulling over all the different possible topics that we could discuss tonight. You know, the fucking the presidential race, the GOP bullshit that's going on, the different little all kinds of different little fucking things going on out in the world. And I said, no, you know what? My little girl, my little 6-year-old, is she was sent a list home from school of all the little, you know, knobs in her class, 21 little kids, right? 21 little 6-year-olds. And she had to buy, or she had to get cards, Valentine's Day cards, for each of these little monsters, as well as a box of some sort to collect her little Valentines in. And I remember maybe doing this as a kid myself years and years ago. And it got me thinking about the practice of fucking Valentine's Day. I'm fully aware that it's a bullshit commercial holiday, fully aware that it purely exists to get people to go out and spend money in February because they're trying to get through, you know, from Christmas to Mother's Day. They needed something to put in the middle there. So they came up with this Valentine's Day thing. But it kind of boggled my mind that, you know, here's my little daughter basically being indoctrinated into this process, okay, of, you know, women being taught that their worth is measured by their ability to acquire, by their ability to be given gifts from the people around them, and men being measured by their ability to provide those gifts. And as Jamie was telling me, I was discussing this with her tonight, Jamie was telling me, well, you know, there's a biological imperative for that. There's a biological, you know, thing going on there. And my response was, yes, there's a biological, men provide, women, you know, acquire, whatever. There's that biological thing. But intellectually, I think, you know, as a society, we're trying to move, first of all, beyond that. And then what we got going on with this particular holiday is that it takes that idea that women should be provided for, men should provide, or whatever, that you should give something to romantically, it doesn't even matter if it's man, woman, or whatever, that you should go out of your way today, why today, I don't know, to show somebody how much you care and everything else. And it's just taking that urge and exploiting it. It's taking that urge and blowing it out of proportion. It takes it from a gesture, a romantic gesture, that, you know, because romance, in my opinion, is spontaneous, okay? We've got this one day every year where, no, it's a fucking given that on February 14th, if you're in a relationship, you better be fucking romantic today, or it's your ass. And these women, man, these women got it rough, right? These women got it rough because, right, you know, while a lot of these chicks are expecting it, okay? Like, my girlfriend is probably one of the smartest people in the world, in my world, basically. She's one of the most intelligent people walking around and everything, right? And, you know, she is very, you know, very cool about this shit. What were our plans for Valentine's Day? Just because we want to. We haven't been out to eat for a little while, so we're going to go out to eat. Not on Valentine's Day, because then we got to deal with all those other assholes who are trying to make a big show of it. No, we're going the weekend afterwards and just having a regular fucking dinner together and, you know, taking some time and that kind of thing. And it's an excuse to do so. But these, you know, these women, man, which she's, you know, for years where she was working and everything else, she works with a bunch of other women. And sure as shit, February 15th, man, they're a fucking bunch of hens in the hen house, man. You know, what did your husband do for your Valentine's? What did your boyfriend do for you? Did he, you know, that kind of crazy shit back and forth. And when they get to Jamie, because they notice that Jamie's not piping in, because Jamie doesn't do those things. Jamie doesn't play those games. When they fucking get together and go, did you see American Idol last night and everything else? Did you see what's going on, that person that was singing and everything else? And they go, Jamie, did you see American Idol? Jamie, no, I didn't see American Idol, but did you read the story about, you know, what the president's proposing with health care and blah, blah, blah? They just tune out, man. They get this blank look on their face, and or they get pissed off, which is even fucking funnier. But anyways, she has, you know, she was sitting there for years, for especially for the first couple of years she's at this place with these hens. She would go, we don't do Valentine's Day. Okay. We don't do Valentine's Day. You know, we don't celebrate that shit. And you know what? Their thought process isn't, oh, how enlightened are you? You know, how lucky for you to be above all that shit. You know, she says, we don't do Valentine's Day. I think it's ridiculous that you have to have a special day to be romantic, to show that you love and care about the person you're with. I think we do that all the time, all year long. Spontaneously, we do this for each other. We don't need to be told by our masters that today's the day you go out and show some affection for the person you love. You know, they don't think of that as being free or being enlightened. What they do is they look at her and go, oh, your boyfriend's a cheap ass, huh? Okay. Yeah. That's what they do. That your boyfriend still that's you a line of shit. And you as a woman don't have the wherewithal, the ability to force him, you know. You don't have him pussy whipped yet. That's what's going on, right? And after a few years of every year the story being, you know, we don't do Valentine's Day. Okay. Every year that's the story. But then later on in the year, you know, she goes, you know, Jane, what'd you do for lunch? Well, I didn't get a chance to eat. Why not? I went home and fucked my boyfriend. Oh, I haven't had sex in months. And I'm married. I've been married for 20 years. I haven't had sex in months. Oh, that sucks for you. What did you guys do this weekend? Oh, you know what? Jason sent me to a spa, and I got a massage, and, you know, we went out and had a really nice dinner and everything, and then we went, you know, we all kinds of craziness and everything. We went for this walk on the boardwalk and everything. It was awesome. I'm like, oh, you know, My husband hasn't taken me to do anything like that since before he was trying to get in my pants. So it's just a whole load of shit. So girls have this pressure from other women. I mean, I know that we as men, we don't have that fucking pressure from one another. You know what? If you say, you know, if you told me, dude, I don't celebrate Valentine's Day. I'm not doing anything for her. I'm like, yeah, fuck it, man. I'm cool. You know, no pressure whatsoever. But these chicks, man, they are on each other about it. And then I'm gonna let you say something here in a minute. And if you want to call in 347-99-1371, that's what we're talking about. So then to have a 6-year-old, man, to take these six-year-old kids, they don't want to deal with the opposite sex. They don't want to deal with one another whatsoever. So the idea, I mean, my daughter was upset about the idea that these boys in her class were going to be her Valentine, that by giving this kid a card, it was suggesting that she had some sort of emotional interest in this kid that she did not. She has no interest in that. Why does a 6-year-old have to have anything fucking to do with Valentine's Day? That the closest she should come to Valentine's Day is maybe her teacher gets some balloons and shit at school from her husband or her fucking boyfriend or whatever, because, of course, you know, the teacher's indoctrinated and all this other shit. Or she comes home and sees, you know, me and Jamie, you know, doing something nice or whatever. That's as close as she should get. But what's going to happen to my little 6-year-old, because you've got all these little girls, these little boys going, I want nothing to do with these other little people over there that use the other bathroom. I want nothing to do with those people. There's a reason they use a different bathroom. It's because I don't want to deal with them. I don't want them dealing with me. I'm good in my bathroom. They're good in theirs, and that's the way it fucking should be. Okay? That's the mentality of a 6-year-old regarding the opposite sex. And what's going to happen, though, is those little fucking girls, because they're, you know, they learn from their mothers, those little fucking girls around here are going to go, how many Valentines did you get? Well, okay, there are 21 kids in the class, so you got 20 Valentines. But I got 22 because little Billy and little Bobby got me an extra one. Okay? And it'll turn into that kind of shit. And, you know, and what's worse is my little 6-year-old is one of those girls that will, you know, oh, I got extra Valentines. You people suck. I'm so much better than you. Yeah, she's a little preppy little kid. But it's that kind of thing. At 6 years old, man, it shouldn't be going on. There shouldn't be that kind of indoctrination. And I knew that our crowd, I knew that our people, you know, our girls that tune in and everything else listening to this show, they're going to be in the chat room going, woohoo, Yeah, that's right. I don't do the fucking Valentine's Day thing. I hate that shit and everything else. It's easy to do in the fucking chat room and everything else to say you're not into it and everything. But I'm willing to bet, even as enlightened as you may be, there's a little part of you, because I know there's a little part of me that every year sweats a little bit, okay, about, okay, we're not doing the Valentine's Day thing. Is this for real? Is this for, okay, we're not doing the Valentine's Day? Okay, so you're not getting me anything. You're not, okay, and I didn't get you anything. I don't. If you got me anything, I'm going to feel bad. And, you know, and so, and I got to be thinking, these that women, they got to go, okay, we've agreed. Ha ha, we're not going to do anything for Valentine's Day because we're enlightened. We're above all that. We're better than that. But it'd be really nice if you got me something. You know, if you got me something, I'm not going to complain about it. It's just one of those fucked up holidays. And it is. It's indoctrinating us as a society into the idea that you have a certain role. You have a certain function. And, you know, you express your love through some sort of financial, you know, output and everything. And Jamie even said, you know, you could do it for free. You could have a guy who just, you know, he puts some candles on the bath and everything else and reads some poetry to you while you're taking a bath and you know, makes you a nice dinner and everything, right? And I'm thinking, okay, yeah, that's a least expensive way to go, or a less expensive way to go. But there's still money involved. You're burning candles. You're burning energy for the hot water. You wouldn't normally take a bath. You wouldn't normally light those candles. There wouldn't normally be the incense and all that other bullshit going on. And the special meal you made, you're not making fucking ravioli out of a can for that meal and everything else. You're making steak. And you've gone out of your way to get some special groceries and shit for that meal. You put all that time into it and everything because there's still money being spent. And then as a dude, you go through all that shit, man. If you were to do that thing, that's probably more romantic than the dinner and the box of chocolate, the jewelry and the fucking movie and everything else. That's probably more romantic. It's more intimate, but you do everything for that, for your woman and everything, and she goes to work and she tells her friends, so what did your husband do for you? Oh, you know, he gave me a bubble bath and candles and made me a really nice dinner thing. Oh, cheap ass, couldn't take you out, huh? That's the kind of shit that women do to one another. So that's my rant on fucking Valentine's Day. But
yeah, you don't feel strongly about that or anything, do you?
Well, you know what? Normally, no. Normally, I could give a shit, you know, because Jamie and I have been together almost 8 years, we know who we are. We're very secure in our relationship, who we are, very happy and everything. And you know, if we're gonna do something for Valentine's Day or whatever, it's because we want to. It's because, you know, it's because they got all the candy and shit out. It might be, you know, they might have a sale on the 15th. That's when I'll go out by fucking Valentine's Day. That's the kind of prick I am. Oh, it's the 15th. They're having a sale. Good time to buy some chocolate. So, anyways, you know, so.
You know.
Yeah.
I believe that, man. It's a day associated with, martyrdom, which it kind of cracks me up when you think about it in context to what you were just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, because we sacrifice our balls, man. We hand our balls over to somebody, and that's what's going on. We've martyred them, you know.
It's kind of disturbing,
so,
man.
Yeah. No, it's that kind of thing, man. I didn't feel really strongly about this topic until I got to talking about it with James and I. And I got to thinking about Nadia, you know, my 6-year-old. You know, we're fully formed adults, or as close as we're going to get to being fully formed adults, you know, and everything else. And we don't have to take heat or shit off of anybody, man. That's, you know, because we can just come home and shut the door and turn it all off, and that's, you know, that's who we are. Nadia, you know, what if she showed up on the 14th and had no cards and tried to tell her classmates, yeah, this is a bullshit holiday, we don't do this. You know, the pressure.
Yeah.
The brow beating she would get, you know, her teacher, the adult, your parents didn't send you home with cards. Oh, you poor thing. Oh, you poor thing. I didn't know how bad it was over there. Oh, your mom and daddy said they don't believe in Valentine's Day. What? They don't believe in love. They don't believe in hope. What? They aren't American. Yeah, that's the kind of shit she's going to get. So no, it's either she has to endure that kind of shit, or we send her over with the cards and it's just one more fucking thing we're bending over for. Oh, schools, man. And how old is Regan?
He's 5.
5, so it's coming. It's coming, man. So, Go ahead, man.
Yes. Oh, I was going to say, yes, it's coming, man.
Yeah, so.
But,
go ahead, dude.
I already got kind of a plan, man. There are other events that are significant that have happened around Valentine's Day. I mean, one thing I could point out is the Valentine's Day Massacre. So, we'll just get some cards, drawn up that, they suggest that nature of the holiday.
Hoping you don't get shot up. I hope you don't owe anybody any money. Wow, man. Yeah. That's one way to go. That'd be cool, man. Send him a little pinstripe suit and a little fucking cardboard Tommy gun. Celebrate Valentine's Day. So
I mean that's just it right there, dude.
Yeah. With her school, it's just another one of those fucking things where I already had to buy fucking crayons and Kleenex and glue for not just my daughter, but every other little knee biter in her class because they all have to have the same shit. They all have to have the same thing going on, right? They send her home with a ton of homework and everything else, and she's got all this. I mean, she's in the first grade and she's doing all this work. I mean, that's good, man. I want her learning. I want her being doing the homework. But then they put all this other shit on top of it and everything else, and Jamie's got to deal with it and everything. And it's constantly bring you some cookies, bake this, do that. No, don't put peanut butter or anything in that because the kids are got a peanut allergy. And it's like, fuck, man, just pass out cigarettes or whatever so that get them spending money on fucking something faster, because that's what you're really trying to do, is just getting them buying shit. You want good little consumers. It just sucks, man. So, the call-in number is 347-989-1371. If you disagree with the host's opinion about Valentine's Day, we'd love you to call in and share your opinion. That's my
reason. Yeah, I've always been a little suspicious of the holiday. I mean, after all, it's logo or unofficial logo is a little angel that floats around with a fucking bow and arrow shooting people in the ass.
Right. A divine sniper. That's what that shit is. this is what they're telling you too. This is the end of your life. Here you were, you walked along, you're free, you're happy, you chase some tail every once in a while and everything else, but you give a goddamn. The world is in your, it's your oyster, man. You do what the fuck you want. And then, bam, you get nailed by one of those fucking arrows, and your life is over. It's done. You're not the same anymore. You died, and you've been replaced by a little fucking clone of you that's, perfectly programmed to be obedient. Yes, dear, that's a good idea, dear. Just please, don't kick me out. Don't stop diddling my little bits. That's what that shit is, man. Fucking divine sniper. So.
Right on.
Yeah. So no one wants to call in and support Valentine's Day. If you don't want to call in to support Valentine's Day, if you want to call in to bitch about Valentine's Day too, you can do that, 347-989-1371. And I think I'd like to hear from a chick, man. I'd like to hear from a woman, giving her opinion about the pressure, because my understanding is that a big piece of conforming or the pressure to conform into anything in a woman's life comes not from the men around her, but from the other women that she deals with. If a woman walks down the street topless, she's going to hear some catcalls from some guys, and she's going to hear some shit from some guys and everything else. But the looks of disgust, the looks of disdain, the calls to cover yourself, bitch, that kind of thing, that's coming from women, man. That's it's the women that force other women to toe the line, whatever the social line is. It's the women making other women conform. Otherwise, these fucking chicks would be running around ruling things. They have total control. But, you got a few of them to feel fucking unhappy about who they are, their body image, what they can do, their limitations, everything else. You got a few of them to feel bad about themselves, and now they got to turn around and piss on everybody else that they deal with that has tits. So... there's another opinion for you. Yeah, fuck it.
oh, man. I don't even know what to say. You're just on a roll tonight.
So, no, we got about 20 minutes left for the shoe. No, and you know what? They've got this anti-Valentine's Day thing, too, man. All these little different, you know, websites and everything else, DeviantArt's doing and everything else. Says, oh, we're doing the anti-Valentine's Day thing. Oh, that's so fucking chic. Now anti-fucking-Valentine's Day has its own little market and everything else. They have an anti-Valentine's Day card. How are you anti-Valentine's Day? How are you, it's just like all these, you know, anything else. How are you anti-something when you're doing the exact same fucking thing? How can you be, you know, anti-this, anti-Valentine's Day, when you're passing out cards and buying a little anti-Valentine's Day candy and whatever else the fuck it is? Sarah Duffy's asking whether or not she should call in. Well, I don't know, Sarah. I've been asking for people to call in. I've been asking for chicks to call in and everything else. I don't know. Do we really want you to call in? Not to call you out or anything, but I don't know. I don't. It's a talk show, and we want people to call in and talk. And we got about 20 minutes left. So, or don't, whatever.
You know, I'm thinking, man, you should use this time to advertise for, like, I don't know, $40 Valentine's Day tattoo or something, you know, get a little heart with the jackass attached to it for $40.
What I should do here is I'm going to go, we're going to do names. If you want to get your significant other's name tattooed on you this week, okay, so it's got to be from today, this Sunday to next Sunday. So I'll go with the whole Valentine's Day week. If you want to get your significant other's name tattooed on you and you come down here to Austin, Texas, to where I'm at to get your tattoo, you come see me, I will do a name, you know, nothing ridiculous, nothing crazy huge or anything else, but a pretty good size, really nice cursive name. I will do a name for $25. We'll put a drop shadow under it and everything. It'll look beautiful, okay? $25 for that. Your cover up, though, when you come back to me from 6 months after that fucking relationship, you broke up because you were a dumbass to get that person's name on you, your cover up is going to cost you $500. So $2,500 or $25 names, $500 cover ups. That's what we got going on here, the special going on. All right, we got a caller. Let's see who this is. 731 area code, you're on the U's, it's on your brain.
Yeah, hi, this is Jake. How you doing?
Hey, Jake, what's going on, man?
Jake.
Oh, not much. You know, I really think that if you really want to celebrate Valentine's Day, you should dial into Dark Ride Radio, because Hannibal's Hamburger has an X-rated Valentine's Day special. If you like David Allan Coe, that's the kind of music he's playing. On the subject, though, you know, the whole thing is that we're all expected to be Pavlovian. And when a day comes up with a red number on a calendar, we're supposed to salivate and fall in line.
Exactly.
And especially as Satanists, we should realize that if everybody is doing something, we shouldn't. I have been married for 42 years. I do not give Valentine's Day presents. My wife doesn't give Valentine's Day presents. I might give her a present on June 13th. I might give her a present on August 14th. You know, the idea of a present to show love is the spontaneity of it. When you codify it and you force it into people's consciousness as something that has to be done, it cheapens it. And I think we're not only teaching our children to become nice little automatons and put their cards in the box and pay homage to whatever god or whatever religion or whatever holiday that society feels is good, we're also teaching them that, you know, it's cheap, it's easy. You have a day to do it the rest of the year. You can just forget about it all.
Right, right. And it's taking a natural predisposition. We want to show people that we care about, that we appreciate them. We want to woo and you know, get people to, you know, appreciate what it is we can do. But you're exactly right. When you put a number on it and put it on a Hallmark card and make it that, hey, if you're going to do that, you want to do that on this day. Yeah, man, it's just cheaping, and it's what's bad is, of course, we're indoctrinated as children by our schools. Thinking about it with my little one today, it was like, oh man, this shit kind of pisses me off. And we got a 484 area code on the line as well right now. You're on the U's. What's on your brain?
Hi, I'm a lady. Sarah, I just wanted to, I guess, talk about Valentine's Day from a lady's point of view.
All right, yeah, shoot. What's Valentine's Day from a lady's point of view?
I personally don't currently care about the pressure of it, but I used to a lot.
Okay.
And especially I remember in high school, I went to a fairly large inner city high school, and every single Valentine's Day, there's this thing where you could buy flowers and send them to people in homeroom, and for some reason that was a huge fucking deal.
Right.
And if, you didn't get one, that was crazy. That wasn't allowed to happen. And that happened to you, then you were shunned.
I knew chicks that would buy their own flowers and have them sent to themselves just so they could say, yeah. So what did you, what kind of, like I said, I'm an outsider just seeing it, just an observer of women, seeing the kind of thing. What did you hear? You said you were shunned. So what would these chicks do, man? To see you walking down the hall and turn their backs and pretend like it didn't exist? Or what kind of shit did you endure?
Girls are really passive-aggressive towards one another up until the moment they get really aggressive in your face. So it's stuff like, oh, you didn't get anything? That's awful. Stuff like that.
she's grinning her ass off when she says it. That makes me feel so terrible. That's crazy. That's awesome.
You poor thing. Maybe next year.
Oh, jeez.
Brutal.
Have you ever seen a chick lose her mind when the dude didn't follow through with whatever obligation she was expecting? Have you ever seen a public meltdown?
Public meltdown?
I'm thinking back to my high school days where, I remember some little fucking bleach blonde cheerleader just losing her mind, the end of the day with her dude, because here she was expecting all day long the big, bouquet of balloons and bullshit to show up, and it never materialized. And it was just because the dude simply didn't have any money, but also didn't have the fucking balls to tell her, I can't do it this year. And she did, man. She just, lost her mind. And the crazy thing was, the thing that I was kind of shocked by, first of all, this is high school, man, so it shouldn't fucking matter. This chick goes, gives you kind of this public dress down. You don't deal with that woman anymore, and it's high school. When you graduate, you don't ever have to see that bitch again if you don't want to. But he was right there the next week with all the little bullshit, huge, I'm sorry, huge public display of whatever, man. And she, more money probably spent on this chick than, the guy could afford to spend. But still, it was, she stayed with him, all the bullshit she gave him, the yelling and everything else, but she still stayed with the dude. And then it was anytime the shit would come, anytime that things weren't going the way she would want it to go, she'd bring it up. It would come up, and I was gonna be like, hey, baby, I don't really feel like, going to the movie or whatever. We're just hang out here with the guys. Let's just hang out here because everyone's having a good time. And they go, oh, you're gonna make another bad decision like you did on Valentine's Day? Yeah, that kind of fucking thing.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said to TC, man, guys don't do that shit to each other. If I don't like another guy and everything else, and, if he's reached that point where, I'm going to tell him, he's over here talking to me and everything else, and, so Jason, hey, guess what? Hey, buddy, look, man, I don't care. I don't like you, and I prefer you not speak with me, all right? And then if he continues, I'm going to punch him in the mouth. It's pretty straightforward. But, yeah, man.
That will barely ever happen with a group of women, that somebody, it doesn't happen up until the point of extreme violence that a girl acknowledged to the other girl's face that she hates her. A fight is going to happen.
Well, it seems like, chicks will do that. You'll have somebody in your circle that you just hate their guts, and you want to have that person that when they go away, you want to be able to talk about them just on the hope, I think, and this is, again, me outside observing the scene, on the hope that when you walk away, that the girls you're talking to will continue to talk about this other chick rather than talking about you. But, you know, you've got to be fully aware that as soon as you walk away, there's going to be one in that circle that hates your guts. It's going to be talking about you. So, I had another question. The question I was wondering was, were you at a point, at some point, were you measuring your self-worth based on whether or not you got something for Valentine's Day?
Actually, there was a period of time. This was maybe when I was a junior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I had my first, I guess, legitimate boyfriend, you know, and everybody was like, he's going to get you something for Valentine's Day. He's going to get you something for Valentine's Day. It's going to happen. What's it going to be? It's probably going to be great. And I was like, it was like this weird pressure on me, even though I was the one receiving the gift. And and then I got flowers, which was really nice because nobody had ever given me flowers before. And I was super excited about it. And there was this girl in my high school. She sat in front of me in every single homeroom I ever had, which is like the period before you go to your actual first class. And I remember I sat down and she was like, what did you get? And I was like, oh, I got flowers. It was really nice. And she was like, you only got flowers. I'm so sorry. And I just, how was I supposed to feel about that? It was like, I was happy and now I'm suddenly not supposed to be.
Yeah. When you're that old, you have no clue.
I had no idea what to do. So I felt like weirdly bad, even though I shouldn't have, about something that didn't have anything to do with her.
So this is a chick that you could have said, he got me a new car. Oh, just a new car? He got you that car? Why didn't he get you this car? Yeah, that sucks, man. And that's crazy, you know? Yeah. Wow. Well, yeah, dudes, I don't think guys don't deal with that. You know what? No way. I take that back. We do deal with that, okay, because we'll hear about it. You know, from the girlfriend, you know. My luck would have been, you know, I got you the flowers and everything else. And here's a bouquet, wonderful flowers and everything else. Really nice, really expensive. Had it delivered. I hope you like it. Happy Valentine's Day. And you're all, oh, thank you. The flowers are great. And you get to homeroom and everything else. The chick goes, oh, just flowers? That kind of sucks. And I see you and you just throw them on my face. You suck, you know. You're a loser. Why am I even dating you? Just flowers? And I'm kind of like, what the fuck happened? Yeah. Yeah, that kind of, I could see that shit going down. So, cool, man. Well, you can hang out here, or we're gonna just keep going. TC, what do you think of all that, man?
I'm not really sure. We got about 6 minutes left as now. If we're gonna do anything, we need to extend the show. I don't. I'm not particularly pressed to get up tomorrow morning, so.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to extend the show. I rolled in here not knowing if I was going to have enough to talk about. So, once again, I found that I can actually talk for an hour. Oh, there goes our friend. So, yeah. I think we'll just close it out because I don't want to talk for another hour about Valentine's Day. But I need to start thinking about – we need to start thinking about some other stuff about what we're going to be talking about. You know, the thing that we were talking about when we rolled into the show – for those people who weren't or here before the show started, because, you know, it was just me and TC, there's a dude, and I'm going to post the blog again. This is kind of cool. Just when you think nobody's listening or nobody's paying attention, TC found this blog where Eminent Mind is being discussed. His Dark Horse idea is being discussed. And unfortunately, it's all in Spanish. So, but check that out. It's kind of cool that these ideas, these things that that we kick around, not so much the Valentine's Day fucking thing, but the things on Eminent Mind are being discussed. You know, apparently, we don't know where this guy's from, but we don't know if he's from the U.S. or what. So check this guy out. And just, you know, people are listening. People are paying attention. So it's kind of cool to see that kind of thing going on.
Yeah, it's kind of strange from my perspective, man. I mean, like I said, I had to translate the page just to see what was being said. I mean, at first I thought it was just like maybe a repost of my words or whatever, but there's actually kind of kind of a side dialogue going there where he's pointing to a few different things that I've said and at the same point making connections that I hadn't previously made. So it's kind of cool.
Right on. So, and it's cool that you've, I mean, you got somebody out there. I mean, that's a big deal. When somebody takes something you've said, takes an idea that you've had, and they start expressing it in their own words and actually begin, you know, kind of developing it, taking it, you know, taking it in a different direction, going a different step, going, you know, with another step or whatever. Because that means not only was the person, did you like what you had to say and thought it was worth sharing with other people, but it actually made him think. It actually kind of, you know, changed maybe what he was doing. So, it's a big deal, man. So I thought I'd, you know, want to put that out there since now we got a full chat room of people. Eminentmind.info is having an impact. Kind of cool. Views, on the other hand, tonight, we made a few people laugh, I guess. We got about 3 minutes and 15 seconds. I don't know, man. What else we got going on, or what else you got going on this week?
For me this week it's more of the same, although I am going to try to tackle a couple of different drawing challenges that have been presented to me. It's fairly easy to draw things when it's something that you're interested in, but when it's something you're not really all that into, you know, that changes your perspective of what you're doing and can sometimes drastically change the quality of whatever product is coming out at the end there. And so I guess I'm going to attempt to do a big tiger and some flowers and shit like that, because that's just stuff I don't normally draw.
Right on. And when you kind of get out of your box, your comfort zone, which I never do. It's always a naked chick when I draw something. When you get out of your comfort zone and everything else, you begin to see things, and that helps make your work stronger. So, yeah, that'll be a good time, along with, I'm assuming, cleaning tubes, right?
Yeah, got to clean more tubes.
Right on.
I'm a tube cleaning motherfucker. The one thing I've actually learned, though, man, out of all this tube cleaning, is that when I do finally get my own set of tubes, I'm not going to be one of these jackasses that doesn't immediately rinse them out.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first thing I'm going after, man, is rinsing them out, because the difference between the tubes that I have to clean and the tubes of one of the artists there, Bobby Black, is night and day, man. He's barely got to touch them to get them clean. Because he preps it beforehand. Where the ones that I'm cleaning, man, I got to scrub every fucking inch of it, sometimes 4 or 5 times to get that ink out of it. So.
And you would think that'd be standard practice, man, but it's not. It's more common for these tubes. You know, you're lucky if the tubes end up in some sort of cleansing soak sitting in the station, basically. My thing would be, you know, rinse those fucking things out, get as much of the ink out while it's wet and everything else, and then immediately into, you know, the cleansing solution and get those things scrubbed. So, anyways, man, we only got about a minute left, so unless we got anything else, I think we should roll the outro.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, man. Catch you later.